Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm concluding a series that I've been doing for quite a while on Christian Philosophy 2. We taught, first of all, on Christian Philosophy 1, which was talking about how we are supposed to have a world view, a paradigm, a way of thinking, not just individual thoughts about godly things such as the Word of God, God is a good God, and all those things. And then the last few weeks, I've been teaching on Christian Philosophy 2, which is talking about a Christian world view on social issues. And I established that it is proper for Christians to have an opinion on current events, social issues. I think it was really important to establish that because there is a philosophy in the world today that Christians ought to keep their faith in the church. It ought to be private. There is no place for us to speak out and have an opinion on anything from a faith point of view. That is absolutely wrong. So I countered that. And then we talked about a Christian philosophy towards homosexuality, a Christian philosophy towards abortion. And we could just keep on talking forever about this, but what I've been doing the last few days is just basically saying that there ought to be a Christian philosophy to where we are skeptical towards just nearly anything that comes from this world. We need to recognize that we are the church. The word church, ecclesiastia in the Greek, means called out ones. We are called out. We are to be separate, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Touch not all of these things. Come out from among them and be ye separate is what the Lord said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We are supposed to be separate, not separate in the sense that we move into a monastery and isolate ourselves. But we should have a different philosophy, a different view, and we shouldn't be afraid or ashamed to share it. And I'll just tell you that I'm relatively bold compared to what I used to be. I have people tell me all of the time, you know, they'll make jokes and say, well, tell me how you really think, because I'm pretty outspoken. And yet, as I have started countering just, I mean, a lot of stuff. I've countered the news media and the fact that they speak things as if it's news when the truth is it's a philosophy. It'd be more accurate to say a prophecy. They aren't telling you what has happened. They're talking about what's going to happen. They are putting a spin on stuff. And I've countered the news. I've countered global warming. I've countered evolution. I've countered just a bunch of stuff. I came against so many things. And as I've done it, again, I say I think I'm relatively bold, and yet I can feel the spirit of Antichrist and that there are so many people there. The public opinion, even Christian public opinion, is so against the Word of God and so embracing of all of these attitudes that are said in the name of so-called science and enlightenment. That, you know what, it makes me a little gun-shy. If every time you bend over and pet a dog, if you get bit after a while, you get to thinking twice before you reach over and pet that dog. And I've been criticized, and I've had so many people come against me and say, you know, you can quote the Scripture and you can say this, but you have no right to say this. And they think that unless you have degrees behind your name, you can't have an opinion about anything. And yet the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, night unto night shows knowledge. You know what? It doesn't take a Ph.D. to believe that there's a God and to believe that I did not come from a monkey or a dog or a cat. And people talk about the Big Bang and they keep going back. Well, where did the Big Bang come from? Where were those original elements? Who created them? You know what? There is no logical way to embrace evolution the way that it's been taught, an anti-God. It just can't be done. There is no explanation. People say, oh, yes, these slime came together and lightning struck it and there was this bolt of energy. Well, first of all, if that's all true, then why aren't you able to reproduce it with all of our sophistication today? But even if, you know, somehow or another they could reproduce that and produce life and see something come up out of there and become a human being, even if that could be done, well, let me ask you this. Where did the I don't even know how to say these words. Where did all this slime come from? Where did the lightning come from? Those had to come from someplace. If you keep going back, sooner or later, something or someone had to create those first elements. And you know what? There's just people today that make you feel like you are less than a human being. How dumb can you get and believe that God just created the earth in 6 days? It's not a stretch for me at all. I believe God can do anything. You know what? I remember when Mount St. Helens erupted. And again, there's some of you watching this that don't have that perspective. Those of you overseas may not have known about this, but I remember when Mount St. Helens erupted that people, scientists, were shocked at the devastation that it produced instantly. They were just amazed. And you talk about global warming, Mount St. Helens put more stuff into the atmosphere than thousands and thousands of years of man-made stuff, and it did affect the climate, and there were some things, but you know what? The earth recovered from it. And I remember that there were predictions made that it was going to be 10,000 years before we begin to start seeing this happen and this happen, and scientists were just thrilled that, man, they had this opportunity to study a natural disaster and see evolution and things repopulate and all of this. Did you know within 2 and 3 years, it was already accomplishing things that they said wouldn't happen for 1,000 years. Scientists missed it big time. They continually miss it. They keep missing it. And yet people just go ahead as if... It's just amazing to me how gullible people are. Look at some of these facts. Here is some information from the National Weather Service. This is from Wikipedia off of the Internet. And anyway, here's the prediction of the National Hurricane Center, Dr. William N. Gray. He's associate at the Colorado State University, and he's been involved with the government's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And anyway, I won't give you all his credentials, but in 2005, here were the predictions of the National Weather Service. They said that there would be 11 tropical storms and 6 hurricanes. It turned out that there were 28 tropical storms and 15 hurricanes. And if I'm not mistaken, I think this is the year that that Hurricane Katrina happened, and it was just devastating, and they totally missed it. You know what? If a preacher was to prophesy and predict something and be that far wrong, be over twice, 2.5 times as bad as anybody thought it was going to be, they would discount you and make fun of you and say, see, that's the way that religious stuff is. So, since they missed it so badly then, here were the predictions of 2006. They said that there would be 17 named storms and 9 would be hurricanes in 2006. Here's the facts. There were 5 hurricanes. They missed that. And I forget how many hurricanes actually hit. I think there were actually 3 that possibly hit, which is, again, 1/3 of what they predicted. In 2006, on December the 8th, they predicted that there would be above average activity in 2007. 14 named storms, of which 7 would be hurricanes. Here's the fact. There were 6 hurricanes in 2007. And they had predicted that there would be 7. So they were closer. But my point is that here are these people, and people have just taken this as being, this is the way it is. And I've made mention of this earlier, but people say, well, when you're dealing with things like pandemics and hurricanes and natural disasters, it's always important to err on the side of caution. You need to overstate, never understate. Well, first of all, that is not the way that it happened. They completely understated it in 2005. And I don't agree with this philosophy that you can't overstate it. In other words, tell the patient that, oh, you're probably going to die, but don't give them any hope. Don't get their hopes up. When the Bible says that hope is what saves us. Hope is a powerful force. Man, we ought to be getting people's hopes up. But because of liability issues, a doctor's never going to tell you that it could be good. They're going to tell you the worst case scenario to cover their own self and keep from being sued and things like this. When it comes to these predictions, they overstate it and people say, well, it didn't hurt anything. Well, it certainly did. Insurance rates went through the roof and many people lost their flood insurance and their hurricane insurance because they couldn't afford the premiums. And then when the hurricanes did hit, man, they were devastated. When the swine flu came, they overstated it. And they said that it was going to be a pandemic. They already announced a pandemic. You know what a pandemic is? It differs from an epidemic. In fact, that an epidemic is just localized into one place, one nation or something. A pandemic means it's going to be worldwide and it's going to be devastation with thousands and thousands of cases. The swine flu did not turn out to be a pandemic. And even though it's sad that anybody dies from it, that's not a pandemic. It has been overstated. Man, governments spent bunches of money getting these vaccinations together and doing things. It has affected the economy. There are people, there were schools that were closed down. There were businesses that had closed down. It disrupted the entire economy. There were destinations. I was reading about this not long ago that some of these vacation spots, especially in Mexico where the swine flu started, some of them had severe financial distress because of all of this. And people say, well, it doesn't matter. Well, you always have to err on the side of caution. No, it does matter. We need to be more accurate. And my point is, I'm not trying to just rag on everybody, but I'm saying that there is this gullibleness. Somehow or another, we have embraced a philosophy that people who are quote unquote scientists, people who are quote unquote journalists, people who are supposed to be leaders and experts. We just get to where we exalt their word above the word of God, above anybody else, above reason, above what history has proved. And I'm telling you, if you have that type of a philosophy, you're headed for destruction. I remember when Y2K was a major issue. And I remember that Christians were predicting that this was the beginning of the tribulation period, that everything was going to shut down. We were going to go into total anarchy. You were supposed to be buying food and stockpiling it and also getting weapons so that you could kill your neighbors when they came over trying to get your food. They taught on self-defense and Christians were supposed to be killing people in the name of the Lord to protect their family. They were crying and all these things were happening. And there were people that weren't just saying this is a possibility. There were people predicting in the name of the Lord, this is going to happen. You know, there's a number of things that just didn't bear witness with me. Number one, the Lord had told me to go on television and I was scheduled to go on television January the 3rd, 2000. And if the Y2K and this computer problem happened the way it was predicted, I couldn't have been on television January the 3rd. So it was inconsistent with what I felt God had told me in my heart. Plus, I was really, I have a philosophy that God doesn't want me hoarding food and letting my neighbors starve. And when they begin to starve and want to come get my food, He doesn't want me to kill them in the name of the Lord. That just is inconsistent with so much that the Word teaches. And so because I had a Christian philosophy, where if you want to prosper, give, and it shall be given unto you. Not hoard, not take back, not hold back, not kill somebody because you are going to feed your family and you're going to watch your neighbors die. That's just inconsistent with so much in the Word of God. And based on nothing but that, I didn't have a word from God. God didn't speak to me and say, thus saith the Lord, Y2K is a hoax. But it was inconsistent with everything I saw in Scripture. People were motivated by fear, not by faith. There wasn't joy. The Bible says in James chapter 3 that the wisdom that is from above is first of all pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And all of the things that were being said about Y2K was like terror. It was fear factor. It was extremism. And based on nothing but the fact that violated everything I see in Scripture about let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. because of all of the truths I've learned from Scripture. Did you know I rejected that well over a year, probably 18 months in advance, and I got strong and strong and strong, and I told the people, I said, if I miss it and if the world comes to an end, I'll repent and I'll be as public with it as I can if there is no television, if there is no radio, if computers can't work, if mail can't run. But I will be honest and admit it. And I said, I challenge anybody who's proclaiming the end of the world, if you miss it, to be as honest and come on and just say you missed it. You know, I never heard any of those people apologize. I never heard any of them go back. Matter of fact, some of them said, well, it had been reset and they were predicting a second disaster 6 months later. Just like the guy who predicted 88 reasons why the Lord would return in 1988. And when he missed it, he came out with a book, 89 Reasons Why the Lord Would Return in 1989, and people bought that book. How dumb can you get and still breathe? Amen. I mean, it's just amazing to me the way that people fall for things, and it's because they don't have an established absolute truth. Most people believe everything is relative. Most people believe everything is up for grabs. They don't believe in the infallibility of the Word. They don't truly believe that this is really inspired of God. They think it's just a vague representation and maybe you can read it and get a little good feeling every once in a while. But this doesn't apply to us. And this goes back to the very first thing that I taught in Christian Philosophy 1. That the very first thing Satan did to Eve was, has God said? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Before Satan can get us into any type of deception, he has to move us away from the Word of God and get us to where we compromise our confidence and our faith in the Word of God. You know, I unashamedly say that I believe the Bible. I believe it's accurate. I believe that God preserved it through the translations. I base my life on it. And you may sit there and say, well, boy, I think that that's wrong for you to do that. You're narrow-minded. Well, you know what? It's working for me. I've been healed miraculously. Just this last week, I've seen hundreds of people healed. Deaf people that couldn't hear, hear. People that couldn't walk, walk. We saw people with limbs that they couldn't move and they were able to start moving. We saw miracle after miracle after miracle. I've seen my son raised from the dead after being dead for 5 hours with no brain damage. And you can sit there and say whatever you want to, but it's too late to tell me that the Word of God isn't inspired because it inspires me. I'm basing my life on it and it's working. And the people who are critical of this and criticize Christians as being, oh, you're stuck in the Bible and you aren't facing facts, these are the same people that 1 year say that it's going to be devastating hurricane season and nothing happens. And then they say nothing's going to happen and it's devastating. And these are the same people that are showing that we got global warming, and yet the statistics show that over the last 10 years, it's actually cooling off. These are the same people talking about a worldwide recession and that the whole thing is terrible. And at the same time, because I'm believing in the Bible, my investments in the stock market have gone up over 60% while the stock market has gone down 40 or 50%. I tell you what, it's just working. It's working for me. It's working for people that I know. I would highly recommend to you that you need to recognize that this world is going to hell in a handbasket. You need to recognize that, man, they are having to take pills to go to sleep, pills to wake up, pills to regulate everything. People are miserable. Things aren't working in the world, in case you haven't heard. Man, it is a dangerous situation. I mean, if nothing else, life is a terminal experience. Even if you live a relatively charmed life, every one of us, unless Jesus comes back first, are headed for a graveyard. We are all in the process of dying. You need to have something that is bigger than you to hold on to. You need to have something that has been proven over the centuries. And I guarantee you, God's Word, faith in God, true faith. You know, I'm just as much against religion as anybody is. There's no atheist or agnostic that hates religion more than I do. But there is a true Christianity. There is a true relationship with God. And I recommend it completely. And all of our philosophy, all of our way of thinking needs to be founded right here on this book, on the Bible. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 says, "Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar." We need to get to the place to where I don't hate anybody. I'm not against anybody. But you know what? I don't exalt people. If they counter the Word of God, then you know what? Their opinion just doesn't mean that much to me. And I know that there's a lot of people that think I'm narrow-minded. Well, you know what? It's working. Until you get better results than I'm getting, maybe you ought to consider being a little bit more narrow-minded, focused on the Word of God and believing in it. If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And most people, it's just all, their whole life is in flux. They have no anchor to hold to. But you know, there are truths in my life that are established based on the Word of God. I've lived my life on them. I've seen them work. And my life is founded on this. The Scripture says that heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. You know what? If I was to try and build me some fortress on a mountain, there's some day that a mountain's going to be gone. But when I build my life on the Word of God, it'll never fail. It's forever settled. God created the heavens and the earth by His Word. He spoke them into existence. And Hebrews 1:3 says, "By Him all things consist." His Word holds everything together. And my philosophy is that I believe God, and I believe that He gave us His Word. There's so many reasons to believe that, but people died to get this book into translation. People have given their lives for it. People have been burned at the stake and put on the rack and things. They didn't do that for your news broadcast that you believe in 100%. Those people who have a PhD behind their name and are discounting everything that the Bible says, they haven't offered their life. They haven't suffered persecution for their beliefs. This has been proven over time. I believe it's been confirmed, and it's most importantly in my heart, it's been confirmed to me. And you know, I just want to tell you that God will confirm His Word to you. I'm reaching people all over the world. There's 2.2 billion people that have the potential of watching this program. And I know that out of that many people, of course, not that many are watching at any one time, but out of the millions and millions of people that can watch this program, I know that not all of you share that same philosophy. Not all of you believe in God the way that I'm talking about. Not all of you believe in the Word of God. You don't believe that you could base your life on it. But you know, the Lord says, "Try me. Prove me. See if it doesn't work." In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, He was talking about the tithe. But I would issue the same challenge to you, that if you would just begin to start reading this Word, and if you would read it with just a tiny bit of openness and say, "God, are these things true? What does it say?" And you know, read in the New Covenant. The New Covenant is what really empowers everything. Start with the New Covenant. Start in the book of Matthew. Read about the life of Jesus. And just say, "God, if You're real, reveal Yourself." I challenge you, if you do that, I think you're going to come to the same philosophy that I've got, that the Word is real, that God is real, and it'll change your life. You know, I'm out of time, but I do want to encourage you to get these materials. This is a powerful teaching, Christian philosophy too. Today's our last day to offer it, so listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Christian Philosophy Part 2 is available on either CD or on DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1062C or DVD album T1062D when you contact us. The supplemental material Andrew mentioned will also be included with each album. The fourth teaching in the CD album titled In But Not Of The World is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. Request teaching TCP10C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Once again, I'd like to just underscore the fact that today is the last day we're offering this teaching entitled Christian Philosophy Part 2. That's the album, and also this is our last day to offer you the fourth teaching in this album entitled In But Not Of The World. Now, we offer the album for a donation of any amount. We don't specify because people have different abilities to give, but we ask you to give something. But we offer each individual teaching in the album free of charge to those of you who cannot or would not send any money for it. My partners have enabled me to do that. And today's our last day for the free offer on the fourth teaching in the album. It's our last day to offer the album itself. So please listen to our announcer and call or write today.
We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled The Believer's Authority, is available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. Or if you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our New Year's Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona.
If you're a regular viewer of Gospel Truth or you've seen our Destiny Stories DVD series, you're familiar with Leland Shores. Leland heard from God, pursued his destiny, graduated from Charis Bible College, and moved to Uganda, Africa to fulfill the plan of God for his life. This past summer, Leland and his new wife, Carol, returned to Colorado Springs to attend the 2009 Summer Family Bible Conference, where Leland had the honor of speaking before his mentors at CBC.
God has an opinion of us, and He has honored us, but He acknowledged us. He has acknowledged us. He has set us apart. Hallelujah. So that we can boast and glorify Him. We can't glorify God unless we've received His glory. And it is not a robe. It is a position.
Leland and Carol are back in Uganda and are currently in the process of establishing a Charis Bible College program in that African nation. Be sure and keep them in your prayers as they continue walking in the destiny that God has prepared for them.